Happy to have you back on the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Joining us in studio, Jim Wolkoff, Vice President, and Ed Wolkoff, President and CEO of Beckner Painting and Contracting. Also joining us, Dan Bean from CMA. If you're interested in having your story told on this show, why don't you contact Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com. This week, we learn about a company with a key pivot point that is making the company and shaping the company today. The wisdom of a person that took over the company, passing along to the next generation and Jim, and also finding ways to continue to partnership and expand with other brothers in their role in the company. We're joined today by Beckner Painting and Contracting on the Business of Family Business. Can you give me the history of the company and tell me where Beckner Painting and Contracting came about?
I was in high school and looking for a summer job, and Dave Beckner was painting. And Dave Beckner came from Indiana. He used to work in one of the petroleum companies there, and he got on a painting crew, and he came to Washington U to finish a degree, a master's. He ended up, during the summer, painting, and he taught out at Priory. And while he was teaching out there, people say, oh, can you do my house? Can you do this? That's when I got on with him during the summer. The business continued to grow and grow. Mm-hmm. And he got to a point he had to decide whether to stay in teaching and coaching, which he loved, or get out. So he got into painting full-time. In the meantime, I graduated, taught the first year, and went to work for the railroad. I was with the railroad 10 years, and they were moving out of town. And Dave's business had grown and grown to the point he was expanding into Florida.
Wow.
And he needed some help with the marketing administrative end. And that's where he made me an offer, and I went to work for Dave. So at that point, he had gone from a sole proprietorship. He took on a partner, Joe Giannone. Joe ended up teaching out at Priory, and so that's how Dave met him, and it became a partnership at that point. As the business grew larger and larger, Dave wanted to spend more time in Florida, so he ended up decided he was going to sell part of it, and that's when I bought Beckner Painting Midwest, as we called it, and he had down in Florida Beckner Painting Southeast.
So he had a partner. Did he become your partner at that point?
No, Joe left the business.
Okay. So when you say Midwest, so you basically took over the whole operation that was out this way.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
St. Louis.
What year was that?
1986.
And at that time, what kind of painting were you doing? Was it mostly residential or commercial?
Residential, apartment, and light commercial.
Yeah.
Anything that needed painting.
To this day, the smell of paint, you still have it in your nostrils from all that?
You know, you walk in and you smell it right away.
You know,
fresh
immediately.
Paint. Yes.
So when you took it over, what were some of the things you started to do differently, or the things that your footprint in the business?
Initially, I didn't do anything differently because I'd taken out a big loan and I had a couple other partners at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to pay that loan back. And it was a five-year deal where we had to pay back, and it was a lot of money. For the first 5 years, we just continued business as usual. People didn't know the business was sold. I used Dave Beckner as president of the company for the first 3 years, even though he was gone. And it always gave you an opportunity if somebody has complained about something, say, well, I have to check with Dave and see what he says.
Yeah.
And then it gave me an opportunity to dodge a bullet. Oh, in 1995, we bought the building that we're in now. And that gave us a stable place to stay and build from there. We got into contracting, where we were doing kitchens, baths, and just general remodeling, working in apartments, working in residential. That was kind of the start of the painting company we have now.
Yeah.
We also had bought a refinishing, resurfacing company.
Mm-hmm.
Started off just countertops.
Okay.
And the countertops in the apartments, you get a lot of pot burns. That became the business. John, my vice president, he actually took it into a where we got into refinishing appliances, doing cabinets and stuff, and he expanded the business there.
Now, your son's part of it, too, Jim Wolkoff, vice president. Well, how did you get involved then?
Similar situation.
Yeah.
I didn't envision myself being there for long. When I graduated college, I did, I think, what half the people in St. Louis do. I went and worked at Enterprise for a couple years. And great company. Actually, I learned a lot there, so I'm not knocking that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was taking a job somewhere else, and at the same time, just talking with my parents, taking a job somewhere else, he had mentioned he could use help. And same thing as he said, I figured I'd do it for a couple years, help him out, get him over the hump. 15 years later.
Keeps going.
Here I am.
And now you guys are continuing on with the business. You keep the Beckner name. Did you guys ever think about switching it over?
Oh, he's got five sons who are always in trouble. Why would you want to? No, it was an established business. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be no point of other than ego and...
So are you guys at the point where you're thinking about some sort of transition? Or have you guys talked about what's going to happen, Ed, when you retire?
A lot of wheel spinning.
Yeah.
When I retire, I'll probably be laying flat and 6 feet under. It's just something I enjoy going into work. I don't do as much. Jim has really taken on a lot of the work. He runs the operations. And the transition where I've seen is everything is nowadays electronic and, and digital and... there's just so much more with the social media and things that, and he handles all that. I'm just happy to, say, yes, let's do this.
Yeah.
That
That's how we ended up here.
Yeah. And I find out about it afterwards and tell him, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. And Jim, I got to imagine you have a lot too that you bring to the table as you come in and put your footprint on the business as well.
Well, I've tried. It's funny, his background, he's got his master's in a BA in business, I believe, so he's got a lot of finance background.
Yeah.
He's always, to this day, he's got one of those crazy heads with numbers. Just, you say a number and he figures out, I have to break the calculator on my phone out, but my background's in marketing.
Yeah.
So we always meet in the middle when it comes to advertising and marketing. We went from doing almost no advertising to now we're on Yelp and Angie's List and we're wrapping all of our vehicles and we've got an updated website and we do pay a company to do our social media and just all different type of things like that. That, we do a monthly newsletter that I've been doing now for, I think we're almost at 10 years now.
Wow, so great.
One of the first things he said was you start it. You got to make sure you keep doing it. You can't start it for a couple of months and stop. So
yeah,
I think I've done it.
That's really important. I want to ask that about Dan Bean with CMA. A lot of times you see something that comes in as a good idea, maybe started, but it's not followed through. How important is the consistency when it comes to the businesses and especially marketing?
Well, when you're going to market your business to the marketplace, consistency is extremely important. So a simple message, a focus message, and one that's delivered consistency and through multiple media, multiple channels, that's what really helps the audience, the consumers, start to recognize the brand, start to recognize the company, and be willing to take that next step to reach out and contact them or respond to some effort that the company has put over the airwaves or through social media or whatever.
We're going to learn more about the role the son takes in the company, Jim Wolkoff, Vice President now of Beckner Painting and Contracting, as we continue the business of family business on KMOX. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. Maybe you're interested in having your family business story told on this program. Just contact Dan Bean, cmaconsult.com. Let them know a little bit about you, and maybe we can feature you on the Business of Family Business on KMOX. This week, we're joined by Beckner Painting and Contracting in studio, along with Dan Bean from CMA. Jim, when did you take on the vice president role?
2011, I think it was. We had, John Johnson actually owns the Broadway Oyster Bar downtown. He was our vice president for 41 years. So he bought the Oyster Bar probably 20 years ago now. So he ran that and was our vice president, and then as the bar, I guess, started to do okay, he retired, and that's when I jumped into that role.
You were part of the business for how long before you took that role?
Let's see, 2003 to 2011, so 8 years.
Okay.
Now, that said, I had already started taking on, as I guess my dad could attest to, a lot of the responsibilities at that point anyway. And it just as he said before we got on air, titles aren't really a big thing around our office, so I had already started doing a lot of the duties and responsibilities that
Jim also worked, and his brother Tim worked during the summer. As just, hired help, so to speak.
Well, if you count that, I'm 25 years in, I think. But.
Tim was very good at, like, we were tuck pointing, and people said, I'll follow Tim because he cleans things out well. Jim was driving a truck and delivering stuff, and he'd create more chaos because he'd tell people, yeah, my dad's paying me $20 an hour. And people are,
and he wasn't.
And he wasn't. But it's one of those things. I'd get workers coming, how come he's getting this much? And
I
said, he's not getting that much.
Poking the bear.
I got to imagine that happens a lot in family businesses where they feel like there's some favoritism going on with the family members. But I feel like, if anything, you're probably giving them a harder time.
I've never had that problem with my kids. Even when I coach, people said, I can't tell who your son is because you don't treat anybody differently. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that, they do their job. They're you know, I was lucky they were all good athletes, so, you know, they're all starters and everything. But here in the business, if something has to be done, Jim would step up and do it, which is nice.
Dan Bean from CMA, trying to put some context into this. How does that normally work when it comes to family members that are paying other family members?
Well, we see usually one of two things. So one option is the family members are paid on the family discount plan, meaning the family business owner gets cheap labor and doesn't pay his children or cousins or nephews or whatever as much as he pays everyone else. And then the other end of the extreme is there's the family business benefit plan. Family members get paid more than everybody else. There seems to be very few that kind of pay children and relatives at the market rate and the same rate that pay everyone else. So it tends to be above or below.
Is that emotional connection in good and bad ways at the same time, because you feel like, oh, they're family, they can do it.
They take advantage of it, or they're overly generous, one of the two.
When Jim came onto the business and started showing some interest, did you feel like one day your kids might be able to take over the business? Or did it feel like since you bought into the business, you felt like that's how you may transition to someone that's outside of the business?
I just assumed Jim would be the one to take over because he was involved in the day-to-day operations. Now, I have my oldest son.
Tim?
No. David.
David, okay.
He is a CPA attorney. And when I first bought the business, I had set up an accounting system on the one that I knew, manual, you know, the old double book entry and everything. And he got his degree in accounting, and he came to work for me shortly, for a short period of time. And he said, Dad, nobody uses this anymore. And he put it on the computer. So we went with a system known as Mass 90, which has served us well, but it's outdated now.
Okay.
And so we're in the process.
It's been outdated for a few years.
No, I mean, it's still good. This is where we differ. But we haven't kept the Mass 90 up and with all the updates and everything. We both took a course in
QuickBooks.
And we're in the process of switching to that.
Put it this way. We've got it set up where when he does, as he was saying, retire, however he put it delicately earlier, the transition to QuickBooks is ready to go.
We're running.
For now, we'll let him do Mass 90 as long as he wants.
I'm not trying to be a mediator or anything here, but
No.
Ed, what you're talking about is something I think is pretty common. Maybe I should ask Dan about this. This is pretty common. When you have different generations coming at it, they have different points of view that they look at things and they say, okay, maybe it's time to upgrade things. When the previous generation says, hey, what we got is working, maybe we should continue with what we got. This is probably a common conflict that happens between generations.
Oh, it's very common. And, you know, the dynamics are, we see them in almost every family business when there's a generational transition. The current generation, that's mom or dad or mom and dad, they have what got them here. They know what works. They know the way they do it. And they want the next generation to continue doing it the same way. Of course, the next generation, you know, is usually about 25-year difference. So they've had some different exposure and they know some different things. They're maybe a little more up on technology. They might be a little more comfortable with change and they're more risk accepting. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad are at the point in their life usually where they're a little more risk averse. And so it sets up lots of potential for headbutting. Let's do it my way. No, let's do it my way. The advice I give a lot of families is it's not an either or, but it is a first one then the other. So for the next generation, hey, the way your parents did it worked. Learn the way they did it. And if you do it their way, it'll go a whole lot easier. And they'll see you know how they did it and you know that way. And then you can move to some things you want to do and make some changes. And that probably will go okay with mom and dad if you've demonstrated you can do it their way first.
Yeah.
And so I try to do it not either or, but first one way, then the other.
Yeah. And I'll ask Jim this, but it kind of goes back to this, you putting your own footprint into the company, the things that you've learned as you continue to step and grow inside of the in company. How often does this happen where you guys have to really discuss, okay, maybe it's time we make a change in these certain areas?
Not often. And all honesty, I learned everything from him in regards to that type of stuff. And and obviously we joke around and bust each other's chops. But yeah, I learned the way he does it. And we, you know, early on when I got here from, you know, Enterprise, it was business mentality. Mm-hmm. And we would help guys out and I would be like, you can't do that. You can't help, you know, we can't loan out money like that. And now that I've gotten older and I see it, we've got our average length of employment is 15 years, which in the painting and contracting world, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. That's a long time in any world, but especially in our world. And a lot of it comes back to the way that my dad treats the employees. And I see that, and I've over time learned that slowly.
Yeah.
He would tell you slowly.
You know, it's funny when you talk about the painting, and this might be an interesting perspective for Matt. How many different trends have you seen in painting fashions that people have taken over the years?
Well, we've seen more in the apartment industry. Mm-hmm. When we first got in, kitchens and baths were all wallpapered.
Yeah.
And they'd have to, somebody move out, they'd want new wallpaper in there. You'd have to take the wallpaper down, put up new wallpaper. And it was truly a pain. Mm-hmm. And we tell them, you know, if you want to lower your costs in the apartment turnover, paint the walls.
Yeah.
It's much easier. So that trend changed, thank goodness. But then you'll go from they like a beige color instead of an antique white color, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. And then all along, you'll see things like that with color where this is the latest color and they want that as a fad. And Jim's probably dealing with that more now.
Well, even fast forward to everybody started switching from wood siding to a type of vinyl siding. Mm-hmm. Now they're painting the vinyl siding. So yeah. It's just been, there's always another next big thing. You know, like he said a couple years ago, it was its hands on the walls with a big deal.
I want to know how the industry has changed over the years. When we come back, more from Beckner Painting and Contracting on the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. And if you have a family business and if you're interested in having your family business highlighted on the show, contact Dan Bean at CMA, cmaconsult.com. Tell him you've been listening to the show on KMOX and you'd like to know how to get your family business story told. And welcome back to the Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA. Joining us in studios, Beckner Painting and Contracting. What has HGTV done to your industry?
You mean everything doesn't happen in a half hour?
So the expectations of the customers, is that one of the hardest things to deal with because of that network?
We address those early.
Yeah.
Just to keep people in check, give them time frames, how long things are going to take. Extras, you know, when they call on the Chip and JoJo, whatever that show is,
yeah.
When they call and ask for more money, even though the length of the show doesn't go longer, usually when something comes up, it adds time to the job.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually not horrible. It just gives people a lot of ideas and sometimes mm-hmm. ideas that are unrealistic, just in time frame.
Do you think that might have added some business? People get inspired to maybe update things in their home?
It's added creativity to the business.
Yeah.
I think we've been pushing a lot more on the residential than we have in years past with a lot of the advertising. We've got a pretty strong foothold in the apartment, multifamily, and commercial world. Obviously, we always take more, mm-hmm. but we've been pushing that advertising on the residential side more.
I always thought HGTV added some excitement to the home updating. I never felt that way watching This Old House. When we look back at the business, just all the different day-to-day operations, how has the business, I guess, morphed to 2017 compared to where it was in the 80s? What are some of the things you're doing differently now that you weren't doing in the 80s?
Well, everybody's got cell phones. Back in the 80s, we had beepers, and you're driving along, and you get beeped. You got to find a telephone somewhere to call, so that's much easier.
Good luck finding the phone today.
Yeah. I feel like Superman, you know, nice. No booth. But there's that. The color matching is improved greatly, that people, you know, they give you a color swatch and you can zero in on that real close. Paints have improved.
Well, technology, too, believe it or not, it does play a big role in what we do.
Yeah.
Just with emails and, you know, we get leads from the website all the time. So those come in through email. Just things like that. It's different lead source.
Where do you get your most leads from?
I know it's kind of a canned answer, but who we advertise with, we get a lot of leads. You know, mm-hmm. I had my own personal biases against Yelp thinking it's just restaurants, but man, were we getting leads. So we decided to start advertising with them the last couple of years and the leads are there. So obviously I was wrong. It comes in from Yelp, Angie's List. We do Yellow Pages still, believe it or not. And we actually get people that call.
And I
always ask them, like, is it YP.com? I'm like, no, the actual Yellow Pages. So
really?
Yeah, the actual book. So we get the Yellow Pages. We run a Groupon for bathtub resurfacing.
Okay.
So yeah, they come in, they're all over. You know, people see our truck, which is great. I love to hear that because that's my most recent thing I'm trying to convince them to do.
The truck advertising.
Wrap the trucks.
Wrap the trucks. That's important. People notice those things.
Word of mouth is a big thing. And yes. You do a good job for a customer and they tell their neighbor or somebody. So we pick up a lot of work that way, too.
Yeah, the word of mouth is probably one of the most important things because you want to leave the customer with a positive interaction mm-hmm. and transition and everything there. You guys do other things, too, don't you? Have other offshoot businesses, including heating and cooling, that you guys work with?
We do. My I forget how long ago, but Ed and his business partner bought it, what, 13 years ago. And after a few hiccups with people trying to run it, my twin brother moved back to town, and he runs that now. It's C&G Heating and Cooling is the name of the company. We moved them into our building and consolidated the companies into one building. We have a building over on Manchester and Maplewood. It's a good-sized building. Mm-hmm. So we brought him in, and so they've been there for, I think, 6 or 7 years now.
Mm-hmm. I'm finding that when I was talking to Darlene, who is the secretary office manager over mm-hmm. there, she said that people go with us, even though we may not be the lowest, but Tim explains it the best.
Oh.
He does a very good job at that, and he is, he can go overboard with the knowledge, but he definitely does a good job of selling.
Would you consider that more of an expansion, or is that a standalone business by itself?
Standalone business.
Yeah.
It's symbiotic in that if we go, sometimes they have a problem, something leaks, we can go in and repair the ceiling.
Yeah.
So we can pick up some business off that.
Was that called synergy? There's synergy between the
yeah.
two?
Yeah. And we've had plenty of times where I've been painting and I've seen I don't paint. You don't want me painting, believe me. But I've been bidding a job and I've seen a heating and cooling person leaving, and I'll mention, and they'll call my brother, and wind up getting both the heating and mm-hmm. cooling and the painting. So we try to help each other out, yeah. obviously. You know, we're in the same building.
Right. Dan, have you seen that before where it comes to family businesses as opposed to branching out, offering more under the same business that's already established, but maybe some of the other family members want to be able to do their own standalone thing?
I don't think it's very common where you will see a family with completely different lines of business. If there are multiple lines of business, they tend to be more closely related, mm-hmm. or they may be the same line of business in different geographic areas. Mm-hmm. One family member runs St. Louis, another family member runs Kansas City, but we're doing very much the same thing. So to do these adjacent lines of businesses that at first blush are independent, mm-hmm. so heating and cooling and painting and contracting, when you think of one, you usually don't think of the other. They've obviously found some synergies in logistics and warehousing and yards and maybe some equipment sharing. And obviously they found some business development synergies. But I think that tends to be less common. So even though they're different, I do think that's a good thing, because a lot of family businesses, I think, make a strategic mistake in putting too many eggs in one basket. Maybe they're multiple baskets, but they're all very closely related. So if one domino falls, they all might fall. So I do like the fact that there's diversification outside of just one core business that these guys have done. So I do think that's a very good thing for family businesses to consider.
Where did he learn those traits from? From you?
No, I don't think.
The HGTV.
And YouTube. I don't know.
He bought his first house down in Louisville where he went to school.
Yeah.
And he wanted to enlarge the bathroom. And his next-door neighbor, who had all the tools, was some type of maintenance guy or something. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, Tim, I'll help you.
So that's the best way.
They did it themselves. He learned from that.
Jim, I'm curious your thoughts on this, because you're into marketing. You talked about the email marketing and the branding that you guys do and the different places you advertise. How do you normally handle negative comments? Because that's something I think every business has to deal with, social media otherwise. People may post things that are not complimentary to you. Right or wrong, because a lot of times it's just people that are angry for the wrong reasons, and they just wrongfully go out and maybe put misinformation out there. How do you guys handle things like that?
Well, we never ever get into a back and forth, especially mm-hmm. over a review site or anything like that. If you go on and look on Angie's List, for example, I think we have like 70 reviews right now and 1 D, mm-hmm. and the rest are either all, we have the like 60 plus A's and then a couple B's and then 1 or 2 C's. Mm-hmm. One time recently, which they're pretty rare, it was a legitimate complaint and I acknowledged it, and it was a situation where product actually failed, but the lady didn't want us to come back and fix it because we always back up our work. We'll never ever walk away from a job.
Yeah.
But she just didn't want us back to fix it. Was actually a caulk job that at the end of a resurfacing job that failed, and she just said, we don't want you back, but the product failed. And it was actually not just her house, it failed at multiple people's houses, and we got a refund from the manufacturer. But in this instance, she decided to go online and tell people about it, which it was true. What happened, it did fail, but she didn't let us go back in and fix it.
Yeah, I see a lot of people, sometimes they just want to be acknowledged, but sometimes you can't go back, and some people just can't be pleased.
Yeah, we didn't walk away. We'll never walk away from a job. I mean, that's what makes you, I think, separates you from a professional company from, somebody out of their garage is how you handle it. We can't change Beckner. We've been in there 50 plus years, so we're going to stand behind all of our work every time. And you know, we do the 1 year warranty, and I tell people all the time, at 1 year, you don't stop being our customer. So if something happens, call us.
Yeah.
We're gonna help you.
There's still a lot we can learn from Beckner Painting and Contracting. We're joined by them one last time on the Business of Family Business presented by CMA. And if you'd like your family business story told, contact Dan Bean at cmaconsult.com. Just let them know you heard the show on KMOX, and we may be able to work you into an upcoming episode. Thank you again for joining us here on the Business of Family Business on KMOX, as presented by CMA. We're joined with Beckner Painting and Contracting, getting their story. If you would like your family business story told on this program, reach out to Dan Bean at CMA. Their website, cmaconsult.com. What are some of the key lessons you've learned over the years, or some words of wisdom you might be able to share?
Sometimes when a customer calls up irate and he's going through a process of talking to several people in the company before they get to you, be prepared to listen. I try not to be biased from what my employees have told me. And, you know, listen to what they're saying and try and get at what is the main thing. How can we fix that for you?
Yeah, another good slogan which you put on the truck is, we're not looking for a job, we're looking for a customer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's type of, and that's kind of the, it really is a mentality we have. It's not just bullet points here, but yeah. that is what we try to do.
Yeah.
And I love when we finish somebody's job. I mean, we've done a lot of big jobs in houses, $20,000, $30,000 paint jobs, and we'll get a letter from the people, your painters are so nice. Mm-hmm. They're just great, and they'll name them. And so that's good because it makes you feel good. And the fact that, like Jim had said earlier, longevity. We've got one guy who's been with us longer than Jim has been alive.
Mm-hmm. True story. He's coming up on, this is his 39th year. He'll be up on his 40th next year.
Yeah.
He's trying to make it to 40, he said.
Well, how many decisions has your wife been involved in?
Oh, God, none. Zero.
Zero.
Yeah, she doesn't really like to talk about
it. It's her choice.
This.
It's not, believe me, it's her choice. It's not a, he wouldn't involve her. She just doesn't. She lets
Early
him.
On, I used to talk to my mother. She had a good business head, mm-hmm. and she used to head up the billing department at Couples Products. And so when I had a problem, especially early on, I could go over and I'd sit down and talk to her. And, you know, she'd always ask me questions, and felt like I was getting some good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Beckner was around for a while, and I would talk to Dave and my vice president, John Johnson. He had a good business head. Well, his oyster bar is a perfect example. He's very successful with that right now. Mm-hmm. So he was around, and he just bounced, you know, questions off different people, some of the employees, supervisors and things, talked to them.
Yeah.
And it's always seemed, I've got the accountants in too, and my oldest boy, who's a CPA attorney. I talk with Dave a lot too.
Jim, what about you? Is that a similar path you go through if you're looking for some advice, or before you make a decision, you want to run it by someone?
Yeah, well, a lot of day-to-day decisions don't need to be run by anybody.
Right.
But with bigger decisions, yeah, I have the luxury of working with, you know, like my yeah. business mentor every day still, even though he's dad, he's taught me everything I know pretty much. Enterprise taught me some. But no, so I'm lucky. I'm lucky to can bounce stuff off him. A lot of times when I realize it's not as big a decision as I think is when his eyes start to glaze over and he drifts back to free sell. So I realize it's probably not a huge decision that needs to be made. But
free sell the computer yeah. game, yeah.
Well, I am lucky. My wife has a very good business brain, so I can bounce stuff off her too to get her opinion. And she's totally out of this realm of this business. So yeah. I am lucky there where I can bounce stuff off her. And she, unlike my mom, she'll actually give me input.
If you have family meals, does business ever come up?
Never.
Yeah. You're able to keep it at work.
We never even think
it's
about
never,
it.
Yeah, it's yeah. never. We're pretty close, but yeah, business is never, ever. We were talking about it, and yeah, it's never come up.
You know, if there's a particular problem or something, when they first get there, I might ask Jim or I might ask Tim or something like that, and it's a 2-minute conversation, and that's it.
But yeah, never with my brothers or anything yeah. like that. It's just, yeah, doesn't come up.
So, Ed, let me ask you a question. You said you wanted to basically work until you die with your boots on.
Yeah.
Is that really the way you want to do that? And is that what you think is the best way for you to exit the business? And how does that affect the chances of the business continuing once you're no longer here?
Jim is doing everything day to day. Basically, I take care of financial stuff. Jim's making all the decisions. He'll run them by me. And I'll tell him what I think, and he'll do whatever he thinks is right. No, I mean, we get along well there. When it comes to updating, it's like when my oldest boy put in the accounting system. It was much, much nicer than the, because you couldn't make a mistake. Once you make one entry, it automatically did the other one for you. With QuickBooks, that's nice. I have no problems going to QuickBooks. my problem in the transitioning there is Dave Mottles, he's the one that does the accounting work right now. We're waiting for him to get caught up on some stuff.
So it sounds like, maybe I misheard that, but it sounds like now a lot of the transition, at least in terms of leadership responsibility, has already taken place.
Yes.
Jim comes to you when he has a question. He may listen. He may listen and then decide to do what he wanted to do in the first place anyway. And that's the way, that's any boss, subordinate, family or non-family, that happens all the time.
One of those things, I'm not, you know, if Jim feels strongly about something, you know, I listen and he'll usually convince me that's the way to go. With wrapping the trucks, I was concerned with the money.
Marketing needs finance again.
So let me, a generational transition, the leadership responsibility transferring that is one part of a generational transition. Transferring ownership is another part of a generational transition. Have you transferred any ownership to the next generation?
Not yet.
Do you have plans you can talk about?
We're working on those right now. My daughter-in-law works for Lewis Rice. Her forte is estate planning, and so they are working on it. I think that I've given them some things that I would like them to do, and they're going to evaluate it and see what it is. So that's what we're running by the experts. Let them.
Yeah, and you mentioned one word there, a process. It is a process. It does take time.
Jim, as vice president, you've been around, like you said, 20-some years if you count the summers. Working summers at the family business, that's right. That's a given, it seems like. But now that your active role, vice president, you're a lot of the big decisions. Jim, what are some of the things that you've learned from the business and some things, words of wisdom you can share?
We're still family. You got to remember that. Mm-hmm. One big word of advice is get a succession plan in place.
You know, it's funny with, not the succession, but I never really even think to bring anything up about business when we're all together. And it's not like we're intentionally not bringing it up. We just don't talk about it. You've got to like what you're doing. And I think being honest with the people and always trying to give them their money's worth. Mm-hmm. And I've never lied to people. You know, if there's a problem, sometimes we do end up with problems on things. You explain the problem to them. By and large, things have gone well. And should we put our phone number here so people know where to call?
Yeah. Well, how about this? Well, probably the phone number is something that people don't always remember, but the website is something people remember.
BecknerSTL.com.
BecknerSTL.com. I'd like to thank Jim Wolkoff, Ed Wolkoff, and of course, Dan Bean from CMA, who presents the Business of Family Business. If you're a family business that would like your story told, just like you heard today with Beckner Painting and Contracting, give Dan Bean a call at CMAconsult.com. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. You can enjoy these programs by going to KMOX.com in the podcast section. Just click on the Business of Family Business. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.